with like the untold story. So I think it's very important that this thing be saved. And I was going to ask about plans for utilization and fundraising, and it sounds like you're already well on
it's
the way there.
So. Yes, everything is in motion. And people stepped up to the plate, such as the Army. We met with the guy in the Big Island that said we can, no problem, you know, because they don't dismantle and they're the same material. And it has to follow the Department of Interior regulation when you restructure preservation structure. So, and it's durable because it's an iron frame. So it, the skin part is easy to restore. And so it should, I think it'll be a win-win altogether. I'm looking forward to working with the University of Hawaii because my whole life is up there. And so this means that we can work together from scholarly side as well as a community. And I'm looking at the scholarly relationship that we can talk these stories and do what Dr. Stevenson has said.
Yeah, so I'm happy to hear that you're well
on your
way.
I'd also like to say that I was on the Big Island about 5 years ago and I found the last Quonset hut from up in Waimea. It was the Tarawa. Thank you, the Tarawa Quonset hut, because that's where they had training and there was all these Quonset huts. And I went and I took pictures of the Quonset hut and then I went back this last year and it was gone. Every single one was gone. It had been removed. And I was just like, oh my gosh. It's gone. And so there just aren't that many left.
General Brown is willing to support us. And we're working with the Admiral at Indo-Pacific headquarters. Everybody's on board in terms of trying to work together. It's unknown history that I didn't know about until they told me.
Well, I know this is your third time coming to us, so I know you've worked very hard, Dolores. So is there,
So question for Ms. Guffman, seeing that you're now in the move with collaborating with other state affiliate agency as well as having materials sent from Hawaii Island, is that materials kind of I know you're saying the same materials, but is it the same structural integrity as the Quonset Hut 33?
Yes.
Is it the same footprint?
Yes.
So 30 by,
it?
These were standardized buildings, and so if it's another SSAR 40 building, all the components essentially are going to be exactly the same.
And so those, the structure on Hawaii Island, is it the same amount of age as the Quonset Hut number 33?
It would be contemporary if it was constructed during the World War II era, yes.
So it's 50 years over in terms of the year.
I'm just being
the same.
It's about
so it's replacement in kind.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think Bill Susan would like to say something.
I'd like to say thank you very much, especially the gal from Texas. Thank you very much for your thorough knowledge. And basically, you're enlightening a lot of us here because we knew about a lot of these things, but we never really knew anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy to see that it's kind of making its way through. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I very much appreciate the revisions that you made.
Yeah.
You made the story much more clear.
Much more rich.
And I really appreciate that.
It really is a rich story, and it was really hard to limit it to 10 minutes. I can talk about it all day.
And then the documents got better, too.
Yeah.
But it's really
thank you.
Enlarged and improved.
Want to say anything more?
If anybody from the board want to ask any questions? Now I'm going to ask for a motion from the board in a second.
I can do that. I move that the board lists the Naval Aviation Supply Depot Personnel Camp Quonset Hut 33 on the under criteria A and B on the national level and C, criterion C on the local level, and recommend it to the National Register.
Second.
We got a second from Katie.
Oh, you
so
got it.
Sorry. Katie.
Sorry, I missed
a second.
Katie.
Katie got second first. She
I got the
second first.
So
now let's have some dialogue among ourselves if we wish. The motion was that all three, maybe you saw something in the nomination that I didn't see, Pat, which is why you had such a good nomination, but it's A, B, and C, some under...
No, so it's A, B on the state board to national level.
Okay.
Criteria C on the local level, local with level. Recommendation to the national level.
Okay.
That's good. What Ms. Gutman has stated. Actually, no, sorry. Dr.
Both of us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's in the nomination.
Okay, good. Thank you for picking that up. Yeah. That's...
But for to nominate it as well as on the criteria C for the local level, if they're going to go ahead with a plan of retrieving the original structure on Hawaii Island to replace the footprint at the Irving Garden, does that deter or does that still qualify as it? Because it's not really the original.
I think today it's just to decide to put it on the register, and the stuff that, well, this is just my opinion, but like what happens after this, you know, how it's restored is maybe left to, you know, the standards and the staff and things like that, nominators.
I didn't get the sense y'all were going to actually replace it, but utilize the materials for restoring and repairing.
Such as the structural ripping,
yes, and the ripping. There are certain components of the building, not the whole thing. Is my
yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
That's the yeah. Requirements.
Okay. And in terms of the funding, well, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking more future about it, because I know. For a brand new Quonset hut, in terms of, let's say about 30 by 40 Quonset hut, for new materials that can be an exact design, the structural design will cost about, let's say about, I think about 20,000. And so if they're adding any, if they try to restore the one on Hawaii Island, would that cost twice as much more?
Who knows? I don't know who can speak to that today, but. It sounds like the UH Foundation and you guys, your folks, your Ohana are going to be working together, maybe.
Federal funding will subpoena
that. And federal
funding. We've already embedded that with the government, Tuishi's, us, we were working together when we presented the first one to the federal government. And they gave us feedback on it. So, you know, and Lorraine knew exactly what, you know, the other huts were about, so she, that was her Kuleana, but she's a historian and architect.
Awesome.
Excellent. So.
Thank you, Ikaika. Are you happy with, did you get enough information? Anyone else wish to say anything prior to calling for the vote? Katie, no? Yeah. Anybody down there at that end? Okay, so why don't we call for the question? All in favor is it your nomination? Of your motion, Pat, which I won't repeat. Please raise your hands. So we have 7 people voting yes, so it passes. The motion passes. All right, board members, come back. Reel you back in.
Can we take a break here?
Congratulations. A long time. Gosh. Oh, good. Wow. All right. Welcome
2 minutes.
Welcome back. I would first. You were even. That's why we have a second to look. Okay, short break. It's like they're going to take it whether I call it or not.
I think you need a key.
Chandra. Okay. Okay. Well, maybe at that time, we might have a little bit of a minute.
Yeah. Otherwise, we can tell the story.
Because it hasn't been published.
I agree.
Nothing on earth.
Yes, I've been published.
And some interpretive stuff you can visit.
Yes. And so this is one day I'll focus on just for academic side. That's why the history part and everything coming. That's what I'm looking down the road. Thank you. So I'm really excited. That's a possibility beyond the what happened today. I see a larger
name. I'm just starting to realize.
The whole block.
You go by
He's my client.
Crack the whip.
I'd like to attempt to call the back into session, please. See how they're paying attention.
We need your voice.
Love your voice. And all the years of teaching.
Everybody.
All right, back in session.
All right. Thank you.
Paul told me to do that.
Male voice.
Paul told me to do that.
All right, so next on the agenda is Kahala Avenue House of Angie. Let's Paul introduce yourself. And there we go.
Good morning, everybody that's left. My name is Angie Westfall with Mason Architects, and unfortunately I didn't realize there'd been a change in policy and I didn't provide USB for my photos. There's one coming from the office, she's running down the street as we talk, but I'm going to go ahead and pass around a couple of copies of the one you can see the photos that I'm talking about in case she doesn't make it in time. So this is a residence at 4578 Kahala Avenue. It is an example of a 20th century Tudor revival home with craftsman detail and Hawaii adaptations. It was built in 1935, and despite a ton of investigative efforts, I could not locate who the architect was. It may be somebody significant, but I couldn't nail it down, so I just have to say I don't know. The house itself is a single-story Tudor-style house, as I said. It features two cross gables at the front facade, one at the front entry and a smaller one that holds a large casement window with a fanlight. It has, there's supposed to be pictures to go with this. It has a steeply pitched wood-shaped multi-hipped roof and a chimney at the center. And the chimney's kind of interesting because there is no indication that there was ever a fireplace. None of the 1940s ads mentioned a fireplace. I went up into the attic and there's no remnants of a fireplace. I think that what they did was they just built a chimney on the top because it furthered the Tudor references. So it's a, I think it's just a false chimney. The brick of the driveway and the back lanai, I guess, the outside, is original. There's 6x6 tetrad bricks. It has exposed rafters, consistent with the craftsman style, except for the two cross gables that have narrow box eaves. It's a lovely house. Let's see what else. The windows are all original, and they're outset and simply framed. And some of the original wood screens are also still extant. Let's see, the front door is original. It's a boarded door with a small lidded glass light that echoes the arch of the entryway. So the attention to detail is very good in this house. There's also a carport and a maid's quarters at the back of the house. It's a separate story. It has been modified over time and it's lost some integrity. So it's considered non-contributing to the nomination, even though it was built at the same time as the house. On the interior, there's rounded arches as you come through the entry vestibule, rounded arches into the dining room. The living room itself, which you walk directly into, has 18-foot open truss ceilings. And the dining room is, where's that? I'll make sure I like call it the right thing. Oh, the dining room has decorative wood block ends that are of the Roosevelt style, which is a new thing for me, but it's a particular kind of strolling. The lanai, which adjoins both the living room and the kitchen, was originally open, but it was enclosed by screening in 1939, four years after the house was built, and then later, at some unknown date, French doors have been put in. There's pocketed French doors between the lanai and the living room, and also the kitchen. The kitchen has all original cabinetry, and it has some beautiful rounded arch niches in there as well. Last thing on the interior is it has an original phone niche, like you see in the 1930s and 40s houses in the hallway, and the bathroom cabinetry and some cabinetry in the hall is also original. All the doors in the two bedrooms and the bathrooms are original, and most have original hardware. So the house itself has a very high level of integrity. It hasn't had any additions and very few changes. The history of the house. The tax records show that it was built in 1935, and the land was owned by Bishop Estates when Mahalan was developed. And I thought it was interesting, I'd never seen this before, but the real estate ads, when they were trying to sell the lot in Mahalan, called Kahala Avenue the Polly Drive of Diamond Head. And I'd never heard it called that before, and I thought that was really interesting. The first owner of the house was a Roy A. Larson. He was the president of Hollister Drugs, which is a local drugstore that had many locations in Hawaii since 1878. The next owner was Colonel Morton C. Mumma, who was the manager of the first Sears and Roebuck here. So it had sort of a retail early life. But then in 1949, Marshall and Ellen Beach bought the house. Marshall was a piano teacher, very prominent piano teacher, and his wife was very prominent in Honolulu's social circles. But the main interest that they hold is they had four children, one of which was Stacy Beach, one of two Hawaii astronauts here that were from here in Hawaii. And just as a little side note, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the house, but I thought it was really interesting. Beach was aboard, here's my pictures. Beach was aboard the shuttle Discovery, and he took along a Hawaiian flag and a picture of the Hokulea. And then on his subsequent Columbia flight, he took along a traditional Hawaiian stone axe and he photographed it floating in zero gravity with the Hawaiian islands through the window of the shuttle. I had never heard that story before and I just thought it was fascinating. And Colonel Beach also was very instrumental in the early days of the Hokulea and setting its mission and course. And Nainoa Thompson, the master navigator of the Hokulea, who was a good friend of Beach, credits him with the idea to spread the message of Hawaii peace and aloha to the world and doing their circumnavigation. It was Beach's idea to do that. The house is not eligible under B because Beach did not live in the house during his productive career. So it's eligible under C, I believe, under criterion C, because it's a good example of 20th century Tudor revival residence. It has all of its original detailing, as I've already mentioned, and some interesting elements that evoke the arts and crafts movement to which Tudor is closely associated.
The home actually fits well within the National Register thematic nomination for Honolulu Tudor and French Norman homes that Don did years ago, but it's actually outside its date range, so it just missed that. Now we've got some pictures so you can see. So you can see the two cross gables there and the arch at the front. You can just click through. And that's the rear with the French doors that are enclosed, the original and I. I'm not showing up, sorry, it's kind of bright.
Would you like us to turn the lights off? It will show better.
It would help a little bit, yeah.
And somebody grab the lights, thanks.
And I'm not sure if I might have skipped over it, but the lap siding actually flares. Every board flares.
Excellent.
And so you've got this nice sort of swoop to the entire house, and you can see it sort of in the side, little side elevation here. See how it, so it's just lovely. And then it's got a combination of rock and lattice at the foundation. Yeah, you keep them up. I pretty much talked, there's one of the windows. You can see how they're outset. That's the front entry. And I think there's a close-up to the door, but you can see how the door echoes the entry bit. That's the original paving. Exposed rafters. There's the door. It's got its original hardware. And the glass window, this, and everything just sort of echoes. This is the original maid's quarters and carport, and like I said, it has been changed significantly, so it's non-contributing. And this is the interior of the door, and the little vestibule with the arched openings. And the living room, can you pull it up a little bit? There we go. So you can see this nice vaulted.
Kingland's Trust.
Roosevelt
Trust. The detail of the kitchen and its little niche. The countertops are a replacement of the cabinets, the original. That's the lanai on the inside. The pocketing doors between the living room and the dining room. And her dog. Yeah. Original bathroom cabinets. Mm. The tile in the tub and all that have been replaced, but these cabinets remain. There, you kind of see the phone niche there.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to mention is that the house originally had interior walls of shining roof interior walls. Oh, I didn't talk about the rest of the ownership. Let me tell you about the rest of the ownership, because it's kind of interesting. After the Beaches sold it, Kawamoto, the Japanese developer, bought the house along with about 30 others during the 80s. And in, what was the year? It doesn't really matter the year. At some point, he decided that he wanted to make Kahala less exclusive. And so for a number of the houses, he leased them to Hawaiian families for, I think it was $1 a year. And this was one of the houses that he leased to a family. And they started a daycare business in this house. And then in 2013, I think it was, A&B bought all of Kawamoto's properties. I think there were 20 of them at that point. And they bought this one as well. And it was at that point that they went and skimmed all of the TNG walls. What they did was they put up either very thin plywood or masonite and then covered that in stucco plaster or some sort of plaster-like material. And the owner does intend to eventually pull all that off and have the tongue and groove walls again. Oh, this is actually the interior. That's the maid's quarters in the back. He didn't get in there yesterday. But the little kitchen, the cabinets in there, and the bathroom with that little space are original. But this front where the dog is standing was originally the open carport.
Thanks, Angie.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else want to make from the audience, want to make an additional comment or presentation regarding this property?
I just want to say thank you to Leslie for running over here with
us. Oh, yay. All right. Thank you.
I didn't stay for that. I stayed
because
it's air conditioned.
And now I can have my nominations back, please.
Oh, yes.
Because you're using them.
as long as those don't get lost and somebody walks out the door with my nominations, okay, I really want those back. Thank you.
Don,
is there anybody, we can turn the lights back on now? Somebody? Thanks. So we can see each other. Thank you, mahalo. And so now I think that the board would perhaps like to ask you some questions, Angie, perhaps.
Yes.
I don't know. Let's see if anybody has any questions for Angie or comments before we take a motion. No?
I'd like to compliment you on such a nice nomination, and even though we never did figure out the name of the trust. But the other quick question is, did you look at the field notes in the, building survey field notes that they have over there in the basement of the old police station?
Yes.
And they didn't have the architect name, huh?
Yeah, I thought
sometimes I've seen it down there, they give the permit number and the name of the architect.
But there wasn't, because okay. I checked both the printed files in the filing cabinets and everything on the computer, and there was nothing.
Okay, anybody else want to ask a question or comment? We did go to the site yesterday, everybody, but Ikaika was able to visit the site, so. Yes, Ross?
Just a quick note, I haven't read all of the nomination strategy, but Kahala basically had two different periods of development along the ocean in the 20s,
first.
And then the 50s, and I'll cut like Kohala and all, so I wasn't sure if you were included in.
I didn't include the second period of development because it didn't really apply to this.
It doesn't really pertain, but.
Right.
It's
and the nomination.
Mesh,
yeah, and the nomination talked a little bit more about that, but not much. But so I didn't really go into that second period.
I have a question on the tonguing. You said it was tongue and groove underneath the plywood or whatever. You don't know what that substrate is.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know why? I mean, is that a?
It's pretty narrow. I don't know.
I mean, is it double walled or is that building single double walled?
I'm not really sure, actually.
Really? Okay. Because just curious because how wide
place,
the boards were.
They're very narrow, actually.
And they were tongue and groove, though. They were.
Yeah, I don't know if you got to look inside the laundry room or any of the closets because they're still exposed there,
okay.
So you can see what they were. I know some people saw it.
Okay. And you think that got that whatever that paneling was just added relatively recently?
I think it was added. Probably when A&B bought the houses and renovated them for resale,
huh.
Is what we think. And we know that that's the covering, the sheathing on it, because the current owner had to do some work at some point, and that's what they found, is that that was the materials.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Do you want this considered for the National Register as well as the State Register?
Yeah, I think it's eligible at the local level, but yes, on the National Register.
Okay, so I think we are ready to have a motion on the table. Somebody would like to make that motion? Board members? Whose turn is it?
I'm happy to make the motion.
All right, yeah.
I move that we nominate list the 4578 Kahala Avenue property onto the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criterion C, the local level, and recommend that we move it on to the National Register as well.
A second for that?
Second.
Kaika, I think, spoke up. Kaika for second, all right. Any other conversation?
It's a lovely house.
Yeah. It is a lovely house.
It is. I think I don't hear any more conversation coming, so let's go ahead and call for the question. All in favor of listing per the Matt's nomination motion, please raise your hand. So unanimous. Pass.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you.
So next we move to our agenda, I think, is our Alki house, yeah?
This is the house.
Okay. While Lorraine's setting up, I wanted to just say what's an interesting comment. We used to give names to the houses, which you'll see that usually the first owner, but I'm noticing recently we're just using the address. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if anybody has, it's just an observation, because usually you would name it after the first owner of the house or the first
But now we're just using these addresses. So.
Doesn't the register recommend using them?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because there's like three of them. There's like this, your Kahala Avenue, the Alki, and then you get over to the Kiele Street, and none of them have the name of the original owner. Which
I researched it a little bit because I wondered too whether it should be named after the first owner. And it's this general consensus. I don't think it's an NPS kind of guideline yet, but the general consensus out in the industry seems to be if the first owner was responsible for its building or is eligible under B, then you give it that name. If they just bought it, like they bought it from Bishop Estate,
right,
you can do the address.
So you're, in terms of the original owner, were not able to authenticate the
original. Well, I know who the original owner was, but they had nothing to do with the design or the construction or anything like that. They just bought a house.
Don's looking quizzical.
Did they purchase
the house? Oh, it was. You know, leased
a lot
and then the house designed for themselves.
From what I could tell, the first owner bought the house. Mm-hmm. Did not have the house built. There may be another first owner that did what you said, that there was no record of whatsoever. But I don't think so. So okay. I just always assumed that this was a spec house because the architect that I think designed it did some spec houses.
Oh, interesting. The only reason it's worth filling, I think Lorraine's not quite ready to go yet. So it's, I think it's just an interesting, just a general conversation because I'm just, I haven't seen so many of them. All three of them are like, you don't need it, you know.
Yeah.
So. That was before my time. We moved up to Pomona. I worked on that. This is the play. Are you ready, Lorraine? Okay, let's. We got technology.
Okay, yay. Great. Thank you very much for having me today. I'd like to present the 4369 Alki Avenue residence. We are listing this under significance under criterion C, architecture for its modern architecture and work of a master. The architect is George Hogan. It was completed in 1958, and that's the period of significance. It was shown in the 6th annual AIA house tour for its modern design and Japanese overtones. The home is a private oasis with views to the interior garden and backyard pool area. There are no windows on the front facade of the home, giving privacy to its users. This is the location. And these are a few historic articles. This home was shown on the 6th annual AIA house tour in 1958. Articles from the newspaper as well as the AIA tour. George Hogan was a master architect, and his quote was, "A good house is more than a shelter. It should provide owners and particularly children a feeling that theirs is a good home that they can enjoy with pride, comfort, privacy, and tranquility. It should be beautiful and fun to live in and be the place that they prefer to all else." These three homes are not, these are other homes that he's designed example, the top is a Kaneohe foam, the middle is his Kailua foam, and the bottom is Richard Levine's house. And these are some current photos of the house. Very intact. Don't really see many changes to that. Actually, all of these are showing intact. The shoji screens are also original. These molded ceiling, also original. And the entry doors, original. That's all.
Do
you have any questions? I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah, thanks, Mona, for turning the lights back on. You know, I happen to notice in your tax records that the original owners were the Grays. Richard Gray, who founded Honsador, and his wife, Maris Chillingworth Gray. And I'm wondering why we don't call it the Gray Residence, because I think that would be a nice tribute to them to call it the Gray Residence.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, we can definitely.
Could we change that to the Gray Residence? Because they were the ones that hired George Hogan, I believe, and were the ones that built this house. And I think it would be a nice tribute to the Gray family if we were to call it the Gray Residence.
Okay.
In this case, we do know who the owner was and who built the house.
Okay.
They, I think, subsequently actually moved up to Monolani Heights. I think they must have sold it to someone else.
Right, it was sold quite early on.
Correct. Yes. And then they built a house, I believe it was designed by Val Ospel. But anyway, they had very, very, very good taste and were very supportive of local architects. So I would like to suggest that we would call it the Gray Residence rather than just use the address.
Right.
Would that be all right with you, Lorraine?
That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Does the owner want this considered for the National Register as well?
I think so. We haven't talked about the National Register. Yeah, I think we should do that.
Up to you. But, I mean, it'll be important in the
Katie
motion.
Has a question.
Yes.
Well, Katie, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, National Register for Local Significance.
I'd just like to encourage you to include historic photos like the ones you showed up here in the nomination form, because I think it just builds to the strength of your story. It shows that the house hasn't been changed. So I think it would be nice to have that in here. It's not always that easy to get photos from the Star Bulletin or Star Advertiser, but I've heard that they donated their entire collection to the State Archives. So you can actually get them. So if you wanted to get them reproduced, because sometimes newspaper images like that aren't that good quality, but you could get to the original image. It'd be nice to have it in here, too. I think if somebody's looking at this in the future, they can see that, make that reference.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to ask any questions from the board? I think we also put his own residence, which has this very similar, I would describe it more as a Japanese influence, but his house on Kailua, one house in from the beach. Yes. I think I might have been the, I think Bill Souza, you were on the board at that time. Do you remember that house on George Hogan's home that we put on the register?
Yes, I do.
Remember that? So you see this compatibility with Don, did you do that nomination? I think you did. George Hogan's house, the one on Kailua.
Yeah.
Very similar, like, high-quality integration of, like, Asian influences with Hawaiian, indoor-outdoor.
Yeah.
You see it in that, also in that beautiful house.
Another one that we put on the register is Sam and Mary's Cook's house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That one also is by Hogan.
It's the other one next door. I mean,
not
the big. I don't think he was that old.
and similar type of Japanese style.
Is that on the register too?
Yes.
Okay, I missed that one. Anyway, I just wanted to say that's a very fine house. The one that's in Kailua. So, any other questions, or shall we take a motion from the board, please? Whose turn is it? Alton?
No.
I'll do it. I move that we place the Gray residence on the State Historic Register under criterion C and nominate it for the Federal Register.
A second.
Second from Bill. Bill Souza. Okay, we have a second. Any comments? Yes, Pat.
I'm wondering if the motion should include Katie's request that it be listed once we have the inclusion of that additional information.
And possibly also the changing the name.
So the person that made the motion, Alton, you would have to amend your motion to include what they just said. Are you willing to do that?
I am willing to.
To include the historic photos right. She suggested that we change the name on here to the Gray residence.
But the motion said Gray, so we're going to hold it. He said Gray in the motion. So, are you okay with?
Yes.
Okay, and then the second, Bill, are you okay with amending that? Okay.
Yep.
So, did you want anybody want that repeated, so it's clear for the record?
No.
Got it. Okay. Anybody want to say anything else, or let's just go ahead and call for the question. All in favor of the motion as presented and amended by Alton. Unanimous. Congratulations. Okay. Thank you. All right, so back to you.
Hello again, Andrew Westfall Steele, some architects. This nomination is for the residence at 3043 Kielly Avenue in Diamond Head Terrace. Maybe the Steinhauser house. We'll see what you say. This house is way too many. Yeah, go ahead and just go to the first picture. This house is a 20th century Monterey style house, and it was designed by noted architect Hartwood. It's a two-story house with a second story porch that extends across the entire facade. It has a side gable roof with a decorative vent at it, and the roof actually extends over the porch, which is a signature of the Monterey style. I think there's a picture coming up, is actually cast concrete. The building itself, the first floor, is constructed of concrete masonry units covered with stucco, whereas the second floor is a wood stud with metal lath and plaster.
to match the, so you can't tell the difference between the first and second floor, even though the construction of the walls is different. The lattice covered entry here is a signature of hardwood. He liked to both conceal and draw attention to his entrances, and this was something that he used in a number of his houses. The porch is constructed on 2x4 joists with curved rafter ends that you can see.